Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready? Bam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make The Fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
On 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show. It is Football Friday. We were not here yesterday because the Seahawks were playing.
It was Football Thursday.
A football game. But we are back, and that means Joey Harrington will be with us per normal on a Friday. That will be at 5:30. I'm Isaac, and that's Jason. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Mike's over there. The great Mike Lynch.
I will not put it in my mouth for fear of choking.
No, I won't. I won't do it. Mike's over there being all Mike. He's being a real pill today.
Mike, are you being a pill today?
Am I being a pill today?
Oh, you are.
I don't think he is. I think you are.
Well, now you're
anytime
being a,
Souk
now
accuses
you're being a pill, you
anyone of anything,
jerk.
It's because he is that.
That's what
you're
I do.
A, you're
I
de- a great.
I deflect.
It's very good. You project.
I've got one of those Captain America shields. I just put it up and it bounces off. No
very,
one's figured out
good
to just
it.
Shoot me in the leg yet.
All right. Well, we have Joey, and then we also have next segment the weekend DVR.
Yes.
Which we're going to do for you guys because that's what we do on Fridays. You know. And then in the club tonight, a Florida woman escapes old person jail.
I didn't know there was old person jail.
The Russians' latest. Oh, yes, you do. The Russians' latest hack victim.
I think I live next to an old person jail, in fact. And there's a controversy brewing at my brother's house.
Oh.
Yeah, we might want to give him a big juicy segment.
More Souk drama?
No, it's between him and his wife. It's there's something going down involving a garage door.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's.
I'll put it in the notes.
I think the Honorable I. Everett Ropp may have to preside.
All right.
Over a situation that my brother and his wife are indeed having.
I'm ready.
Yes. And also, we needed to give some love to Larry, who came and fixed their garage door. He listens to this program and loves us.
Larry. All right.
Yeah. Larry.
Larry garage door guy.
The garage door guy. Keep it up, Larry.
All right. Now it is time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the Fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Number 5.
Okay, well, UCLA quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson, his status for the game against Oregon tomorrow is still up in the air due to COVID concerns.
Yeah, there was some talk that maybe UCLA could be in some trouble and that this game was in jeopardy, but it sounds like that is not the case. But we do not know the status of their quarterback.
If he cannot go, the Bruins will not have a quarterback who has thrown a pass at the collegiate level. Also, Miami coach Manny Diaz has the COVID.
Oh, okay.
But their game has already been canceled. Because of other people with the COVID.
So it all just works out fine.
Everybody has the COVID. So here are the games canceled this week. Charlotte, Marshall, Wake Forest, Duke, Louisiana Tech, Central Arkansas, Louisiana. Sorry, Louisiana, Monroe, Louisiana Tech. Central Arkansas, Louisiana. Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Michigan State, Maryland. UNLV, Colorado State. San Jose State, Fresno State. Arizona State, Colorado. Navy, South Florida. And
number four,
Washington State, Stanford.
Yes.
That was a great little... I hit the post there. You know, they call that hitting the post.
You're spinning the hits. Now, unfortunately, because Washington State had to cancel so late, their test came back at like 11 o'clock. The game was canceled around 1. So Stanford and Colorado are the two teams now that don't have an opponent. Unfortunately, they can't play because they just got done playing last week. Stanford did say that they looked into trying to get an opponent to Palo Alto. And some people thought maybe San Jose would have worked out because they're right there. But Stanford is saying that because of the short notice, they're not going to be able to do it. And that Stanford is just going to turn their attention to next week against Cal. Problem is, because of the late test and happened on Friday, this now puts the Apple Cup next week in jeopardy. That if everyone has to be under protocol, Washington State may not happen next week.
Quarterback for Washington State, Jaden Delora, is one of those who tested positive. College football tonight, Louisville leads Syracuse 6-0. They are in the second quarter. And Minnesota has a 14-7 lead on Purdue in the Big Ten first quarter.
Although Washington, if you can't play the Apple Cup, Cincinnati and BYU, both top 10 teams, no game next week.
Boom.
It's something.
All right. Celtics, Grizzlies, and Blazers have a three-way.
Oh. All right. But it's not a very exciting three-way.
Portland gets Enes Kanter back. Mario Hezonja goes to Memphis, while Boston gets a future first from the Grizzlies.
Why did Memphis want Mario Hezonja? Why does anyone want Mario?
It's probably that they don't want Kanter. He was in Boston.
He's in Boston. Is this one of those things where because the guy was a high-round pick, like someone just is convinced that they can take his tall socks and turn it into something?
This means Hassan Whiteside will most assuredly not return to the Blazers. Kanter will be the new backup for Nurkic. But if I told you at the start of the day you could get Kanter back and all you'd have to give up is Hezonja, I don't think there's anyone who wouldn't take that, having watched Hezonja have spasms all over the court all of last season.
Yeah, so you've got Covington, you've got Kanter, and you still have your full mid-level. You have a $2 million left on the trade exemption, your biannual, whatever exemptions or your slots. That's like $3.6 million.
And you're expected to bring Rodney Hood back. That is the expectation.
On bird right. So yep. If they can land a Jay Crowder or someone like that in free agency and bring back Rodney Hood, this is shaping up to, I know they're all role players, but this is shaping up to be a really good offseason for the Blazers.
Taysom Hill will be the starting quarterback for the Saints on Sunday. That they're playing Atlanta. That is a bit of a 180 from where we thought.
Yeah, it is mildly unusual, to say the least.
Well, we thought it was going to be Winston.
Yeah, which...
Thanks for the help.
No one that watches Taysom Hill believes that he is a starting quarterback.
Except for Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. And so everyone was kind of going all in on this notion that it was going to be Jameis Winston like Teddy Bridgewater, and that it was going to be his chance to resurrect his career. And lo and behold, Taysom Hill. And they're saying, at least the reports, is that they are not going to have packages for Jameis Winston, that this is going to be Taysom Hill and it's going to be his game to go forward. But you think if Hill's had a bad first half, they're not gonna give him the hook. A
couple of other notes from the NFL before we get to number one. Seahawks tight end Greg Olsen went down last night. Turns out it was a ruptured fascia in his left foot.
He's had multiple of those.
4 to 6 weeks at least. Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett has the COVID. He will not play against the Eagles on Sunday. And the Packers do get Devontae Adams. He was cleared today, so he will play against the Colts. Carolina says quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is indeed the very definition of a game-time decision.
And I guess they're splitting the reps between the two backups. So if he can't go, no guarantee on who is going to be their starting quarterback. Interesting note, this will be the first time all year Green Bay fully healthy. This will be the first time that Green Bay rolls out what they thought at the start of the season was going to be their starting 22. So the Packers getting healthy.
NBA free agency began this afternoon. Nothing major earth-shattering yet. We do have several small moves to tell you about. Wesley Matthews is going to sign a one-year deal with the Lakers for $3.6 million.
Which is, again, I don't know if the Lakers had that, but that's right around what that biannual exception is if you're looking for maybe the kind of player that Portland could get with that.
So he replaces Danny Green. Myers Leonard and Goran Dragic are going back to Miami. 2 years, $38 million for Dragic. 2 years, $20 million for Myers Leonard.
One of those is a team option, though, so that may end up being a one-year deal. But either way, Myers with just cash and $10 million checks.
The Pistons sign two big men, Mace Plumlee for 3 years, $25 million, and Jahlil Okafor for 2 years. So they go to Detroit.
Detroit apparently trying to reinvent the basketball wheel going back to 1984.
In typical Dwight Howard fashion, he's confusing all of us. He has deleted a tweet saying that he was staying with the Lakers. So we don't know what's going on with him.
The latest was saying that he is exploring all of his options, was the last I saw from Mark Stein.
But he also tweeted that he was staying with the Lakers. So
I know. So who knows?
Patrick Patterson agrees to a one-year deal with the Clippers. Jordan Clarkson, 4 years, $52 million with the Jazz. Utah also gets Derek Favors back, 3 years, $30 million. And De'Aaron Fox of the Kings has agreed to a 5-year, $163 million max contract extension.
And there is a clause in there that he can reach the 195 supermax, according to Shams. So I don't know what you do with $195 million in Sacramento, but my guess is whatever the hell you want.
All right, there's your Hot 5. It's refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's set your weekend DVR. Coming up next, then Joey Harrington will join us at 5:30.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joey Harrington will join us coming up. I want to ask him about improving officiating in the Pac-12. Talk about the Ducks. You know they play again this weekend.
Yes, they do.
You know, there are only four teams in the Pac-12 who are still eligible to play all seven Pac-12 games.
Oregon being one of them.
Oregon State being another. USC and UCLA.
I think Utah plays for the first time this week, right? They're having their, this is their opener.
Cue the music there, Maestro. Let's set your weekend DVR. They are actually one of the bigger games this weekend.
Go Utes.
But we'll get to that in a minute.
The big one's right off the top. Although tonight we've got a full slate. There's four of them tonight.
I wouldn't call that a full slate.
Four games on a Friday night? I mean,
they're terrible games.
Yeah, you got Syracuse, Louisville, Purdue, Minnesota.
Come on.
Rondale Moore, one of the best receivers in the country, is making his debut for Purdue this week. New Mexico and Air Force doesn't blow
just
your hair back.
Tell me about a Purdue wide receiver.
He's one of the best players in college football.
Yeah, Twitter freaked out about him playing for like 2 minutes today.
All right.
Well, look, all I'm saying is the guy's really good and he's making his debut. So there you go.
So watch that.
It's on right now if you've got the Big Ten Network, which maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know.
9 a.m. tomorrow on Fox, the Big Nooner is actually one of the biggest games of the weekend. It is a top 10 matchup between Indiana and Ohio State.
Now, this is number 9 versus number 3. Although, just to let you know what Vegas thinks about this, Ohio State is a 3-touchdown favorite. Because if you look through Indiana, their wins have been against Michigan, Rutgers, Penn State, and Michigan. Now,
Michigan State and Michigan.
So just they beat them both.
I know, but you said Michigan twice.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. Michigan State.
It's okay.
The problem is that Penn State was 8 and Michigan was 23. Neither one of those teams appear to be very good. So
yeah,
we're about to find out a whole lot about just where Indiana is. But
and didn't they barely beat Penn State? And yeah, Penn State sucks.
That was the reach for the goal line.
Yeah.
I mean, it was about as close as you could get. Wow. Something tells me Ohio State will take them behind the woodshed, but and it's at the shoe, but I don't think you're going to have any fans. I will be watching that. I will tune in to see if Indiana can give them a game.
Penn State lost to Nebraska.
I know.
Holy crap.
It's not going so well.
So that'll be on the Nooner at 9. Also at 9, you get to see Clemson again. Trevor Lawrence is back. They are playing at Florida State. Unfortunately, Florida State sucks.
Yep.
That game's on ABC.
Dude, if you want to think about just how far a program can fall, just a couple bad hires, and, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Jimbo won a national title there with Jameis, and dude, they are just, they're awful. I mean, think about it. They've lost to North Carolina State, Pitt, Louisville, drilled by Notre Dame. Remember Miami embarrassed them 52-10. I mean, it's Georgia Tech beat them.
A couple of other 9 a.m. games, Illinois, Nebraska, FS1, LSU, Arkansas, SEC Network, Florida, Vanderbilt. Ugh, yeah. ESPN. All right, moving on. UCLA Oregon will be a 12:30 game. That will be on ESPN2.
That takes the place of the Texas Kansas game that got canceled because of the COVID.
Yeah, there will be no Texas Kansas, but
no,
your Ducks are on. I don't know. I don't know what to make of UCLA. I didn't watch the Cal game. I haven't seen UCLA once.
I saw a little.
And they're 1-1.
I saw a little bit of the Colorado game, and I didn't. And it's. I don't take anything from Cal. Like, Cal just was put in the most difficult spot ever. So, look, as long as Oregon shows up, I just can't see UCLA being able to do anything. This may be close for a while, but in the second half, I expect Oregon to put the hammer down and just be able to run and wear out UCLA. Good one, though, at 12:30. You know, Wisconsin's back. You know, they had the COVID issues there, so they got a big one. They drilled Michigan. And Northwestern, believe it or not, the Fighting Fitzgeralds are undefeated right now. So this is actually a pretty big one in the Big Ten. You got number 19 versus number 10, two undefeated teams.
I think if you're an Oregon fan, you want Northwestern to win that because Wisconsin seems to be a hot pick for that fourth college football playoff spot, even though there's still a little bit left.
A lot to go. Well, I guess not that much. Because, you know, the Big Ten is short schedule.
Wisconsin-Northwestern will be on ABC. You also have Cal-Oregon State on at 12:30. That'll be FS1. So the Ducks and Beavers will be playing at the same time.
And this will be interesting to me, too, because, again, I watched the Cal-UCLA game, and Cal didn't look very good, but I just don't think you can draw anything from Cal based on the circumstances that they had. Guys coming out of quarantine, lack of practice. But I think this is one that a lot of Beaver fans think that this should be, you know, this will be the one that'll get you off the schneid. Played well against Washington. Cal's had a lot of problems. I'll be interested to see what Cal team shows up.
Cincinnati is number 7. They are playing at Central Florida. That game will also be 12:30. You can watch that on ESPN.
Keep an eye on that. Like I said, Washington, maybe with the Apple Cup being gone. Cincinnati, the American Conference cleared the deck. So next week, they all have a bye. So Cincinnati does have an open date. BYU has an open date. So if you're UW, maybe get on the horn to one of those guys. Or maybe Cincinnati and BYU decide to hook up themselves.
Other games before we get to the 5 o'clock window. Random. Kansas State, Iowa State on Fox at 1. Kentucky plays Alabama. 1 on SEC Network. Tennessee plays Auburn. Liberty. How about Liberty ranked 21st?
Undefeated Liberty.
They are at NC State, and they are underdogs, Liberty, in that game.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's at 4:30.
Also, by the way, at 4:30, Mississippi State in Georgia. Mississippi State's going to have in the 40s the number of players available, and they're going to play anyways.
Really?
Yep. Remember
that old Mike Leach being Mike Leach?
Yep, they're below 53, and they're no one's saying officially, but supposedly it's in the mid to high 40s. But because they don't have any of the position groups that have fallen below a certain amount, Mike Leach is saying, screw it, they're going to go out and play anyway. So
there's an appropriate drop here.
That's 50% stupid.
Well, I mean, I don't get it. If you're Mississippi State, dude, you are bad. I mean, you are bad, bad, bad. And you're going to go in there with 46 kids. And you're going on the road to Georgia? Have fun with that.
Is it a thing to say that maybe these it'll be better than the other kids that sucked?
They
sucked before.
I don't know what the spread. I'm gonna look and see what the spread is
24.
On this. But dude, lay the points. They're not gonna score against Georgia. They won't. They'll get blanked.
Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, 4:30 ABC. Arizona, Washington, 5 o'clock on Fox. I don't know. Arizona looked pretty good against USC.
They did. They should have won that game.
Sneaky good game there, maybe?
It's possible. I mean, I just need to see more. Washington's offense, quite frankly, was just an absolute snooze fest. They got to be able to throw the ball better than what they did against the Beavs.
And then the best game, at least for the Pac-12, is USC visiting Utah. This will be Utah's first game. That will be the nightcap, 7:30 on ESPN, USC 2-0.
And I don't know what to make of Utah because I don't know who's playing, right? We know they had outbreaks. We know they haven't played in a couple weeks, but is this like a full squad? I guess we'll find out a little bit closer to the game exactly what and who is available for Utah. But USC being 2-0, they should be 0-2. They are damn lucky to win either one of those games.
All right, that is your college football weekend. Coming up next, we visit with our favorite football guy. Well, second favorite. You're our favorite.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's better than me, though. It's okay.
Well, we know that, but you're our favorite.
I appreciate it.
Joey Harrington, Football Friday visit is next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Football Friday with Joey Football. Every week.
I haven't been called that in a while.
What?
I said I haven't been called that in a while.
Did they used to call you Joey Football?
No, that's why I haven't been called it in a while.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone ever called me that, but that's not really an O-line thing. I feel like quarterbacks, yeah, it's like, you know, Johnny Ballgame, maybe something like that.
What
you know?
Did they call
that's
you?
That's what it was. It was Joey Ballgame.
Yeah.
Joey Ballgame.
Yeah. One coach or player somewhere, I can't remember where I was, but it was like, huh, all right, cool.
Well, you know the Beaver. You know what the Beavers call you?
Oh, yeah, that's Joey Five Picks.
Right. I was about to say four picks, but it was five picks.
No, don't short me. Don't short me. Because, and I'm actually kind of disappointed that my middle name has been left off because it's Joey Five Picks and a fumble.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Right? That's what it was at first. But
rough
I prefer
day.
To think of it as, if you're a Duck fan. But I prefer to think of it as Joey, I gave Oregon State their last New Year's Day bowl game.
No, see, there you go.
Jeez.
Like you're a right? giver, you're a humanitarian. That's just, you know.
You know, in these times of COVID, you just have to think of the positives, right? You know, if you're going to sit in the basement for 7 hours a day teaching your kids school, when you have a break with your two friends, Isaac and Suki, you just got to think about positive things.
It is fascinating. I don't know if you ever get this, but like when people would like run up to me, like when you were playing and they would like in your face, you lost. And you're like, thanks. Yeah. I'm not certain what sort of reaction do they think that they're like digging the knife in deeper. I'm always fascinated by it. We kicked your butt. Well, no, you didn't. I didn't see you play, but yes, I lost the game and I'm still doing okay. That's such a weird fan reaction.
Yeah. It's interesting because it kind of goes to that ownership, that connection, that connection that is missing from college football this year, mm-hmm. right? You know, we just don't have that connection, that diehard, it rules our weekend kind of feeling, because that's what it was and that's what it is for so many people, but. Yeah, it just rules their life, and I've never quite understood that I wasn't raised that way, but like you know some of those NFL fans who would be screaming at you know I remember I was coming up the tunnel and a guy's yelling at me, I spent my last $100 on these tickets and this is the crap I get, and I kind of stopped. I was like, well, why are you spending your last $100 on a football ticket, man?
Yeah.
Let's have some priorities.
That's
Come
a good
on.
Point.
Well, I guess I remember reading a story. My daughter went to school in Chicago, and so this was during the height of the Jay Cutler being the worst human being on the planet in that state. And like there were like Jay Cutler literally couldn't walk his dog because people would like spit at him and yell and it would like freak out the dog. And yeah, you know, not that I get it. You make millions of dollars, that goes along with it. But my daughter was telling me about that once, and I just kind of scratched my head and was like, "That just baffles me that you see another human being walking the dog, and your response is to curse at them and spit because they didn't play a game well enough."
Well, I would be lying if I didn't say that happened to me plenty of times in Detroit. And I understand that. The point when it crossed the line for me is when, you know, I got off the plane and turned my phone on and listened to my voicemail. And I can't repeat it word for word, but somehow, you know, someone gets a hold of my phone number and leaves me a death threat. You know, if you ever throw another interception against the Bears, I will blank and kill you. I will come to you and I will find you and I will kill you.
God.
That rattled me enough where I kind of turned it over to, you know, each team has a head of NFL security and, you know, for their facility. And I kind of turned it over to them. This is where, you know, that turning the bad into the good for COVID, right? So he comes back to me about a week later. He's like, yeah, I dug some, we did some digging on this with the FBI. And apparently this phone call originated in Florida. So do you want us to go send somebody over there? And he said, well, since it originated in Florida and you were in Michigan, it crossed state lines. So this becomes an FBI matter. Would you want me to send people over there? We're like, Yeah, why not?
Hell yeah.
So we sent the FBI to this guy's house, and they go up and knock on the door, and they said it was a 25-year-old kid who literally broke down crying on the front porch.
Shocking.
Don't take me away! Don't take me away! I didn't mean it! And they called me from the porch, and they said, what do you want me to do? And I just kind of started laughing. I was like, that's good enough. I'm good with that. Let him go.
God. More people need to know that's what comes of threats like that.
Yes, it'd be nice.
I think they can say whatever they want.
I know.
You can't.
It's nice. You know, you don't necessarily want anyone to go to jail, but it's... Hopefully
it's
that
nice
person
to scare the crap.
It would have been funny. It would have been kind of funny, just for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. That's brutal. Hey, back to Joey Five Picks. Now, was that 01? Was that the Beavers team
It was the 01 Fiesta Bowl. So it was the 2000 season. It was my junior year, and we were undefeated in the conference, and Oregon State had lost once to Washington. So they were, I think it was 6-1 and we were 7-0. And we went and we go to the Rose Bowl. We went down there and I remember it was Keith Jackson calling the game. And it was, it was Jonathan Smith and Chad Johnson, and TJ Houshmandzadeh and Ken Simonton. And that was a heck of a Dennis Erickson team. And it was one of those days when the ball just, four of those five interceptions were literally tipped balls. Mm. And it just was one of those days. And we lost. We finished in a three-way tie for the conference championship. And Washington won the tiebreak and went to the Rose Bowl. And Oregon State went to the Fiesta Bowl. And we ended up playing Texas in the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that Oregon State team walloped Notre Dame, didn't they?
Yeah, they drilled them.
How good was that team, that Oregon State team that year?
They were fantastic. They were a fantastic football team. And that was like that's the epitome of Dennis Erickson, right? How he could take undervalued talent. Because let's not forget, Jonathan Smith was a walk-on. Right, he was a guy who showed up and all of a sudden ended up playing as a redshirt freshman. And Dennis Erickson comes in and takes him and turns him into an all conference quarterback by taking guys, finding the Chad Johnsons, by finding the TJs and pairing them with the Simontons and those guys. You know, that's what he did at Miami. He brings those junior college guys in, for a couple years to supplement what he didn't have. And Dennis, I think, was as good as anybody at doing that. But that team was for real.
Yeah,
that team was no joke.
It's weird. And, I know it's places like Oregon State or Washington State or even, Arizona mm-hmm. State. No one wants to hear this. But, for programs like that, it's – I always feel bad because you have that sort of special year and then I feel like that really clouds a fan base. They're like, well, we did it. Why can't we do it every year? And I think there's such a difference in the world of college football teams that can accumulate enough talent where you can have those either every year or, every couple years versus a place where it really does take something special, lightning in a bottle and kind of all the pieces to fall into place. And I just don't think people appreciate how hard it is at some places to put together teams that can do that.
There are not that many teams left who can year after year do that.
No.
A lot of it has to do with the guy in charge, right? Alabama can do that because they have Nick Saban, yeah. Right? They couldn't do that with Francione. They couldn't do that with Mike Price for the, 6 months that they were there. They couldn't do that with Shula. Clemson has been able to do it the last few years, but let's not forget that 5 years ago they were a 7-win team. I mean, Mario, I think, has that type of juice because you have. It's not always about – it is about the players, but it's about getting the players year after year and getting them from all around the country to buy into what you're doing. And that takes an incredible amount of energy and focus and enthusiasm to get out on the recruiting trail and bring those guys in over and over and over and over. And let's be honest. If I'm going to a kid's living room in L.A., and saying, boy, you know what's great is playing in Pullman in at the end of November. God, you should come up here to Pullman. We're, you know, it's probably going to be like 26 and raining sideways. You know, maybe sleep. That might even be better. But you know what? You should leave the comfy confines of USC and come on up to Washington State. It's incredibly hard to recruit to places like that year after year. And, you know, for that reason, you very rarely get those special coaches in those type of places.
Yeah, it feels like Oregon, you got to have something else to sell, like Oregon. And I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. USC has always been the top brand in the Pac-12, but isn't it Oregon now? Aren't they the biggest national brand in the Pac-12?
I would absolutely. I think they're the biggest brand. I would say that USC is the biggest legacy, right? It's a different... What question are you asking? You know, USC has their tradition. USC has the Heisman trophies. USC has the national championships. You know, Oregon's the new kid. Oregon is the flashy new kid with the uniforms. And they have done an incredible job of building a brand, but they, even to this day, don't have, I don't think they have the, I don't know, they call it the pull, but they don't have the legacy and tradition that USC does.
They don't, but, you know, if you look around the country, I mean, it seemed like that used to matter. It doesn't seem to matter as much anymore. I think you're right about, it's about your coach. I mean, Tennessee can't get it back together. Florida State can't get it back together.
Nebraska's
net. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, all these seemingly blue blood programs. Michigan is struggling. Yeah. I'd rather be the Oregon, not to say that Oregon is on par with some of these programs, but they sure as hell, I mean, I think they have a leg up on everybody else just because on some of those, because of their brand. I mean, it's not about the legacy stuff. I just don't know how much it matters to kids anymore.
I completely agree with that. It's tough to be that brand though. That hot, flashy brand every single year. And Oregon has a, you know, it's kind of the chicken and the egg thing, right? It's do the kids come because of the uniforms, or do people pay attention to the uniforms because they got the right kids to come and play? I mean, it is all a delicate balancing act that is spearheaded by the guy you have in charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got a good one right now. This is Joey Harrington, Football Friday with Isaac and Suk here on The Fan. When we come back, Joey, I want to ask you about officiating. I saw the end of the Oregon State-Washington game was a bit controversial, and I'm just going to ask your opinion on that when we continue. More with Joey Harrington next on The Fan. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington. I wondered about officiating from a player's point of view because we've talked some this week about the end of that Oregon State-Washington game and just – Pac-12 officials just don't have a good rep, although college football officials all around the country don't really have a great rep. It seems like the Pac-12 guys are worse. I just wonder, first of all, from a player perspective, whether it be NFL or when you were in college, what did you think of officials? Being the quarterback out there on the field with them, interacting with them, what did you think of them?
I didn't think anything of them. I mean, my job was to do my job, right? But I also knew that, not so much in college, but in the NFL, that it would help to have a friendly relationship with guys like, you know, it never hurt to just chat them up in between and show them that you're a person, right? Show them that, you know, hey, I'll talk with you. You talk with me. Let's work this thing out. I never thought much about officials, to be perfectly honest.
It's interesting that you say that, because I've had someone ask me that question before too, and I can honestly never remember once thinking about an official ever. I mean, you know, I never thought I held a day in my life, and so you get a holding call.
Well, no lineman does.
No, there's no such thing. You know, it's like, oh, that's a pile of crap. I didn't hold the guy, but I don't remember a single game in my life walking off the field and thinking about anything about officials. It's weird. You got to, and I'm sure at quarterback it's even worse, but there's so much other stuff going on. It's, you know, it's
a fan thing.
Well, you know what I think it is? I think it has become more of a focal point with the reinvention of instant replay.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they tried it, you know, I don't know how many years ago. Was it late 80s, early 90s? And it just didn't work. And then they got rid of it for what seemed like 10, 15 years in the NFL. I mean, they never had it in college football, But with the inception of instant replay in college football, I think it brings to light human error, right? I mean, because there are always your, you know, whether it's the fifth down, you know, what was it, Nebraska?
Missouri.
Or it was Georgia Tech. Yeah, Missouri. But there was also Georgia Tech fifth down. You know, you have those kind of quirky plays where an official really screwed up. But without this idea of having to call a perfect game because of replay, you just kind of accepted that as par for the course. It's like the officials are going to make mistakes, and that was okay. In the same way that players make mistakes and coaches make mistakes, like they try and call the game right, and 95% of the time they do. But there's that certain element, and you know what? I think it. Because I was always coached to not let the officials don't let them decide the game, right? Do it yourself. Don't put them in a position where they have to make a call that will ultimately decide the outcome of this football game. Why don't you just go and make the play yourself? Go throw the touchdown, right? Don't make a holding call. And I think that element, I'm sure it still exists, but I think a little bit of that is lost because there's that idea that replay is going to change everything, is going to get it all right in the end. And when it doesn't, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it's like the Pac-12 this week where they didn't have enough cameras there, right? They didn't have all the camera angles to see that that was not the correct call on fourth down. But if you would have just got the first down, then you don't have to worry about the officials making the wrong call.
That's such an interesting take. I never thought of that, in that you're right. Like all my life, we just kind of accepted the fact that bad things happen. You kind of get screwed over. But with the invention of replay, there's a sense that everything should be fair every single time. And it's still not, but the expectation's there. And when we played, there never was that expectation. There were no challenge flags. There was no replays. And it's funny, you can go back and watch, you know, clips of big time games, like in the NFL or in college football, where it is such a horrible call. You can see a guy that gets called for a touchdown and his entire foot's out of bounds. And it's just the way it was. There was nothing you could do. And there was an acceptance to that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know if we've become spoiled. I don't know if that's the right word, but I think that it has given us this expectation that everything has to be fair and perfect, and that the officials have to be perfect, and they're not. They're human. They're going to make mistakes, and we need to be. I mean, we need to be okay with that. Like, don't put them in the position where you need to let them make the where you need to let them decide the game. Go make the play yourself.
Social media doesn't help it either. You know, all these fans have a voice and they can tweet at you instead of hunt down your phone number and send death threats that way.
Death threats, yeah. But you know what you can't do on Twitter is you can't send the FBI to their doorstep.
That's right.
Think about this. Think about this, Joey. When you played and you went home, I don't ever remember once, like I guess towards the very end when we were on the plane, you could watch film if you wanted to go and sit with a coach on his laptop. I get sometimes they had it, but you didn't go home and sit on your phone and have a clip of everything. Like you went home and I don't know, you'd maybe drank a little bit or whatever it is that you did to unwind or pass out or, you know, whatever. That just was the end of it. But these kids get on an airplane, these kids in their locker room, the first thing they do is pick up their phone and every little thing, every highlight, it's right there in front of them. And I don't know if I've ever fully appreciated that difference. Imagine you either your biggest moments, or your worst moments in college and the NFL, and you walk into the locker room and the moment you pick up your phone, everything's right there.
Yeah. That takes us down. I think that's a conversation for another day, because I think that takes us down a whole nother rabbit hole, but it is definitely a different expectation, right? The level for the expectation of perfection, that level of having it right there, right now, and perfect, definitely exists now in a way that it didn't before.
Quick final pop quiz trivia question for Joey Harrington here.
Ready to go.
What happened on May 8th, 2006?
May 8th, 2006. I was traded to the Dolphins.
Boom. Nailed it.
Wow.
What's it like to be traded?
It was awesome because I got out of Detroit.
You hated them as much as they hated you.
Oh, I don't think that's possible. You know, May 8th, I had to think about that one. What's it like to be traded? Boy, these are some great story time with Joey moments. Do we want to go into this right now, or do we want to log this for another time? Okay, let's go into it. I'd finished 4 years in Detroit, and it was not good. And I had just been hung out to dry, you know, by teammates on ESPN. And, you know, I had no issue or I had no intent in going back there. And then all of a sudden we have a new coach who came to me and said, I want you to be our quarterback. Rod Marinelli, great guy. And I said, and I'll never forget this conversation. I said, Rod, I appreciate the way that you and I have talked. In my 4 years in the NFL, I've never had a head coach be honest with me like you are right now, but I need to be honest with you. The only people in this organization that I give a damn about right now are one of the players, Matt Millen, and you, because you're the only people who've had the guts to be honest with me. So if you, and the rest of the other 51 guys in that locker room, I don't give a crap about. You need to know that going in. And if you're comfortable with your quarterback feeling that way, then I will be your quarterback because I respect you and I trust you and I will play for you. But if you're not okay with your quarterback being that guy in your locker room, then I think you need to reevaluate that. And on May 8th, 2006, I was traded to the Dolphins.
Damn. But at least you were honest.
Yeah.
Like you said. There you go. But didn't you go back? I thought on Thanksgiving you went back there, and didn't you kick Detroit's ass?
Oh, I wouldn't say kick Detroit's ass as much as I threw for three touchdowns on national television and in every living room in the country after they made it a point to after introducing our defense on the road to make a music video of me to the tune of Billy Joel's Piano Man, and the music video with me getting sacked and blindsided and driven into the turf and throwing interceptions, and they played it over the big screen and then introduced me singularly just so the crowd could boo. But I don't know what I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
Got the last laugh. Yeah. And then you probably took to your Twitter account and said, in your face,
suck it,
Detroit.
Wow. Something like that. No, I actually ate some of Phil Simms's mom's homemade cobbler, right? That was what they gave away as the MVP of the turkey game.
Oh, I thought it was the big drumstick.
I think one game does the Madden drumstick, there's different games.
Well, they moved from the Madden Madden drumstick became like that turkey gobbler trophy thingy.
Yeah.
And Phil Simms and CBS, this was before Tony Romo, way before Tony Romo. Jim Nance and Phil Simms would give away the homemade cobbler.
Hmm. Well, now I want cobbler.
Me too.
It was good.
Maybe a peach.
That is a good cobbler.
All right, sir.
It was berry cobbler.
Well, at least Oregon gets to play this weekend. That's exciting.
There you go. UCLA. I'll be glued in my isolated living room.
Well, have a good Thanksgiving, and we'll reconvene after the holiday.
Sounds good.
Joey Harrington on the Fan, Football Fridays at 5:30. Set your watch, but not next week because we don't have a show.
Yes.
Because it's the Oregon-Oregon State game.
Set your watch for...
The next week.
Yes, two weeks. Two Fridays.
Something you can do right now to be happier. Kicks off the club next on The Fan.
Shrooms.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.